Shall we just bow for a moment in prayer? Our Father, we thank Thee for the presentation of the gospel in such a clear way tonight. We thank that Thou art still the one who receives the prodigal and art waiting, our God, to receive all who will come tonight. We ask Thee, our Father, that Thou wilt speak to every heart in this audience. Perhaps Thou art dealing with souls tonight, and souls are in the balance, and there are those, our God, who have been made conscious of their need and their danger, and wondering if and when they should come to the Savior tonight. If they are, God will impress upon them their need and their danger, and the fact that time is passing, that now is the time, and grant that tonight, our God, there may be hearts open to receive the Lord Jesus, and the language of some heart may be, I wandered far away from God, now I am coming home. O God, we pray Thy blessing and salvation ere this meeting closes, even at this moment, and at the close of this meeting, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians, please, chapter 6 and verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he says, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I want to close the meeting tonight with an appeal that you who are not saved, you who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, might come to him now. We've been reminded there's a loving Father waiting for you. Though you have wandered far away, though you have turned your back upon the God who loves you, though you have ruined your life by sin, and though you have ruined your life in the service of Satan, there's a loving God and a loving Savior waiting for you, and the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for you tonight. And what we want to impress upon our hearts and your hearts is this, that now is the time. It could be you've been made conscious of your need tonight, and the Spirit of God has been undoubtedly dealing with you, and you realize, yes, I'm like that prodigal, and I'm the wanderer, and I'm the sinner, but not tonight. And the language of many a heart is, and perhaps some here tonight, give me just a little longer, for the world seems now so bright. When I feel that I am dying, I'll be saved, but not tonight. And that's why I read this little text for the close of the meeting. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's much said about salvation in the, especially in the first epistle to the Corinthians. We read it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We see here the very purpose of God, that it does please God to save. And it will please God to save you tonight. It would delight God to save you. Oh, you say, well now, if I came to the Lord Jesus, if I came and acknowledged my sin with deep repentance, that God would be compelled to save me. Yes, that may be true in one sense, but God is willing, and God is waiting, and God is ready. When that prodigal returned, he did not have to beg to be received. The Father was waiting to receive him. And there's a loving Father. There's a God in heaven, and there's a Savior who is waiting to receive you. And we read it, please God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. And it will please God to save you tonight, friend. It will delight God if you'll come to him through his Son to save your precious soul. There'll be joy in heaven, and God is ready, and God is willing, and God wants to meet you in this hall tonight. I wonder, are you ready? It please God. There we see the divine purpose. Then we see the divine provision. Yes, Paul says we preach Christ crucified, and he speaks of the preaching of the cross. Not only God's divine purpose, it pleased God to save, but the divine provision, we preach Christ crucified. In order that you might be saved, the Son of God died. He left his home in glory and descended down from the heights above to the depths below, and he went all the way to Calvary, and there upon the cross, lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry, and he died to save your guilty soul. He died upon that cross for you. I wonder, dear soul, do you not see that tonight? Do you not realize if you look to that cross, he died for me? We sing, was it for me alone? The Savior left his glorious throne, the dazzling splendors of the sky. Was it for me he came to die? It was for me, yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free. O wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me, my Lord and King. Now that's the way of salvation. It is through Christ alone. God's divine purpose, it pleased God to save. And God's divine provision, he gave his Son, and there's no other way. It could be, friend, that you would like to be saved tonight, and you say, well, I do want to be in heaven. I have loved ones in heaven, and I want to be there. Of course you want to be there. I'm sure there's not a soul tonight who would say, well, it doesn't matter whether I'm there or not. It doesn't matter whether I'm in hell or not. We've been reminded that you say that, you're not in your right mind, for sin is truly moral insanity. You'd like to be in heaven, but perhaps you think it's your way. No, friend, it's not your way, it's God's way. I remember having meetings in a little town in northern Massachusetts, about 30 miles north of Boston, many years ago, and it pleased God to grant a real time of blessing during those 12 or 13 weeks of meetings. In fact, we went to that place for one Sunday, and we stayed for 13 weeks, for God had a work to be done, and God worked mightily. In those days, we didn't plan like we do now. We just went to a place and left ourselves open as long as God was working and saving precious souls. Would to God we could get back to those days again. Anyway, a lady came to those meetings. I can see her yet, a Mrs. Malloy, a lovely person. She was a lovely mother and wife and neighbor and citizen, and she was very active in the religious and social activities in that little town just below the New Hampshire line, north of Boston. And the first night she was out, we were preaching on that text, "Ye must be born again." And we were telling the folks, as we would tell them again tonight, that salvation is not by works, and it's not by your devotions and your ecclesiastical duties and so on and so forth. And I could see by the very expression on her face, she didn't like it. I knew she was quite angry, but that doesn't bother a gospel preacher very much, for usually when folks get mad, they very soon get glad. And she wouldn't shake hands going out the door, and I heard her say to the Christian friend who brought her, "Now never you take me back to that place again to hear that kind of preaching. The idea of being told that all that we have done will not avail, that all the good works and all the activities and all the hard work and all our giving and all our sacrifices won't take us to heaven." She said, "Never take me back." Well, I said to this friend, "Never mind, she'll likely be back," and she was back the next night. She was back on Monday night, and she was back on Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, and Thursday night, and now each night she listened very reverently, and you could see there was a great change. Repentance was taking place, shall I say. On a Friday night, as she went out the door, she took me by the hand. She says, "Mr. Rieger, pray for me." I says, "Well, now what will I pray for?" I knew what she meant. She says, "I'm a lost sinner going down to hell." I said, "Thank God." I said, "God will save you." She says, "You know, I thought when I first came to these meetings that all that I was doing was going to take me to heaven." And she says, "Of course I want to be in heaven, because I know my mother's there." And she says, "I want to be in heaven." And she said, "I've been working very hard, and I thought that would surely take me to heaven. But," she says, "I found out this week I'm a lost sinner going down to hell." We went home and prayed for her. And at 6 o'clock on the Saturday morning, the phone rang, and it was this voice, "Oh, Mr. Rieger," she said, "I just couldn't wait any longer. I've been awake nearly the whole night. And about an hour ago, reading your little booklet, God's Way of Salvation, I saw that Christ died for me. I saw that Jesus paid it all, and that he shed his blood to save me, and nothing I could do would save myself, and I trusted Christ." And oh, she says, "Thank God, now I'm saved. Thank God." Maybe, dear soul, you realize, well, God will save you, and God wants to save you, but you think maybe it's something you have to do. I've got to repent a little more. Now, don't misunderstand that statement. Repentance is necessary. And God will give you a change of mind, and you'll see yourself as a lost, guilty sinner, fit only for the eternal burning. But salvation is through Christ. There's the plan. There's the provision. God gave his Son, and his Son died, and Jesus Christ waits and longs to save you. And the arms that are outstretched tonight are the arms, the hands that were nailed to Calvary, and the loving voice of the Savior is still saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And down this side, and down this side, there's a lost sinner, and you're weary, and you're wandering, and you're sad. I wonder, is there a heart crying out, "I've wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod, now I'm coming home. Open wide thine arms of love, now I'm coming home." He's waiting. Are you coming home tonight? When I was a lad, it often touched my heart as we sang that hymn, "Are you coming home, you wanderers, whom Jesus died to win? Your footsteps sore and weary, your garments stained with sin." And the chorus was, "Are you coming home tonight?" Is that a girl or boy that's coming home tonight? You've wandered away from God, and you know you're going down to eternal death and doom. There's a loving Savior with his arms open wide, and he's waiting like the Father waited. Are you going to be the one? And you'll come, and you'll say, "Lord, I'm coming." Will you do it right now? He's here and waiting to receive you. And so, in this epistle, we have the the purpose of God, it pleased God to save, and the provision, we preach Christ crucified, and the way. He says, Paul says, those that believe. It pleased God to save those that believe, and there's the way of salvation. Now we stress that tonight. Those, not that pray, not that work, not that turn over a new leaf, but those that believe, and there's the plan of salvation. But Paul says, we which are saved, and there's the possession of salvation. And so, in that one chapter in 1 Corinthians, you have the divine purpose of salvation, and the divine provision, and the divine plan, those that believe, and the divine possession, which are saved. And thank God that are those that are saved tonight. But what I want to close with is the period of salvation. It could be you realize, yes, sir, I need to be saved. And you two preachers have preached very earnestly tonight, and you want to see us saved. Yes, we do. We want to see us saved. But you say, you know, it's not just convenient. This is not just a good time for me, you know. I'm quite busy, and there are circumstances crowding in and pressing in, and I'll be saved someday. And again, I say your language is, give me just a little longer, for the world seems now so bright. When I feel that I'm dying, I'll be saved, but not tonight. But the question is, when is it going to be? Well, says one, you know, the dying thief was saved at the 11th hour, and I can afford to wait. I disagree with that. The dying thief wasn't saved at the 11th hour, friends. The dying thief was saved at the first hour. You say, what do you mean, Mr. Reager? I mean this, it was his first opportunity. It was his first contact with the Lord Jesus. But we find this, that those that speak about being saved at the 11th hour usually die at 10:30. You say, what do you mean? They die before the 11th hour comes. The meetings Milo Vanderpool and I had in Kansas City, Kansas, in the month of April. There was a young man coming to those meetings, a very fine chap. His wife had been saved just before the meetings began, and a daughter as well, and they were brightly saved. And this young father and husband, he came to those meetings, and no doubt God spoke to him, but he seemed very careless and unconcerned. We said to him one night, well, what about getting saved? Well, he said, I know I should be saved. My wife is saved, and my daughter is saved, and I'll be saved one of these days. One of these days. And we tried to impress upon that young man the need of getting saved, that now is God's time. The meetings closed about the middle of April. And I went immediately home, and in about 2 weeks I got a very sad letter from one of the Christians in Kansas City. That dear man was in an automobile accident, rushed to the hospital, in a dying condition. The Christians, with his wife, sat up with them all night. The Christians had a prayer meeting that night, and they cried for God to spare him, for he wasn't saved. But the next morning, he went into eternity, and as far as we know, he wasn't saved. You see, he knew his need of salvation. He knew the way of salvation, but he didn't realize that was the time of salvation. That was the time of salvation. Now, they've come here tonight, and I believe God has been speaking to you. And I believe the Spirit of God has been drawing near to some hearts here tonight. And I believe some heart is convicted. I should be saved tonight. This is God's time. Let me give you another illustration. These are things we haven't read, but things from our own experience. Boyd Nicholson and I were preaching in Waterloo, up here in Waterloo, just 2 years ago. There was a dear man and his wife got saved. That dear man had been anxious to be saved for quite a while. And being unable to get out of the meetings because of a bad heart condition, we went to his home and read the Word of God to him. And one Saturday afternoon, he yielded and he bowed and he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was brightly saved. And his wife then began to attend the meetings, and God spoke to her. And one Sunday night, she remained behind. And she got to a certain point when we thought she's going to be saved, but we did not dare to go beyond the Spirit of God. And finally she said, well, I think I'll go home and think it over. We said, all right, Mrs. Wood, if that's your decision, you do that. But, we said, remember, you may not have long to think this over. Are you sure you'll be here tomorrow morning? And like a dart, the Spirit of God, the Word of God went home to her and her soul. She says, no, I'm not, she said. I could go into eternity tonight. Oh, she says, I want to get this thing settled tonight. Without any undue pressure on our part, she finally accepted the Lord Jesus. Oh, she said, well then, I'll take him as my Savior. We said, now do you mean that, Mrs. Wood? She says, I surely do. I'll take him as my Savior right now. She says, you know, I thought I was doing the best I could do. I thought my prayers and my good works would save me, and there may be some like that tonight. But she said, I discovered in these meetings that there was no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. And she says, right now, I'm accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior. And she did. It was a very sweet sight. You have often seen it. to see the two going out tonight, and I hear him say, as I took his hand, oh, he says, now he says, we're going home to heaven together. And we sang happy day, and Jesus washed my sins away. And again we went home. And in 2 weeks, a phone call asking us to come to the funeral. We were unable to do so. I believe Milo took the funeral. Two of them were out driving, and they collided with a large tractor, trailer. She was instantly killed. He lived for 24 hours. A little bit a month after God's saving, they were in his service. You say, you're not inferring, sir, that some of us may be in eternity. I don't know. I don't. We are preachers of souls, and they were in eternity within minutes. Preaching one night up in the north of Scotland, in the little town of Peterhead, we made a statement, well, there may be some here tonight, and before midnight you'll be in eternity. Thank God I was a Christian. A dear Christian who knew the Lord went home that night and had her cup of tea. She lived alone. And at 10 o'clock she sat in her chair. She bowed her head and she was in eternity. And at 8:30 we made the statement, before midnight you may be in eternity. This should happen to some here in this audience tonight. What about your soul? Are you in dead earnest about this? My, you know, if God would really grip your soul and you were in dead earnest about this, here's our text tonight as we shortly close. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. About 3 years ago, Mr. McCurdy and I were preaching the gospel in a little hall down in Bermuda. The hall was filled that night. In fact, they were sitting around the platform. And preachers sometimes make statements that, and they're not aware of the import of the statement when they make it. And we said that night, now, it could be, and it was about 25 minutes after 8, I think. Why, the Lord might be here, the Lord might be here before 9 o'clock, and there are souls in this meeting and they're not saved, and they'll be left behind. And the words were hardly out of our mouth until a young man, 26 years of age, left his seat and walked to the front. There was no anteroom at all. He came up to the platform, not even a platform, just a table on the floor. I said, what is it, my friend, quietly? He said, I want to be saved. A little later, I felt very ashamed of myself. I said, just sit right here, we'll get this meeting over in a hurry. And we did, and the 15 minutes the meeting was over. We sat down with that young man brought by a Christian. And that night, God saved him. And he's gone on very brightly for the Lord. And we said to him, now, what made you leave your seat? He says, you made the statement the Lord might be here before 9 o'clock, and I was afraid I would miss it. And think of the preacher saying, wait a few minutes. Well, I tell you, these are dreadful realities. Now tonight, God wants to save some dear soul here tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross bled and suffered and died, and he cried, it is finished, and there's nothing to do. And you're a wanderer far away from God. And there's a mother praying. I know that. I was saved at a conference meeting just like this. A Saturday night conference meeting. In the year 1923 in the state of Connecticut. My mother was not well and she was home praying for me. And I was saved that night about 8:30. The gospel preacher preached in the power of God. I remember the statement he made. Young man, he said, in this meeting tonight, without Christ, you're on the brink of hell. And I saw myself on the brink of hell. But with tears streaming down his face, he preached on that lovely text, to his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. And that night I saw it was for me that Christ died. And I bowed my head in my heart and I said, Jesus, I will trust thee. And that night God saved thee. And I went home and threw my arms around the loving mothers and praying. I said, Mother, your prayers are answered. God has saved me. And I went to bed that night and put my head upon my pillow for the first time. For I had been troubled a long time. And I said, thank God. If the Lord comes or if I'm taken, it'll be heaven and home. And I was saved. This is a Saturday night gospel meeting. There's a boy. There's a girl. And there's a mother praying for you. And a father. There's a man. There's a woman. There's a sister. There's a brother. And you're like the prodigal. You're away from God. And his arms are open. And the Savior died, and he's waiting. And the text says, behold, now. That's not tomorrow. That's tonight. Now. Now. Tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow you may have stepped over the line and out into eternity. And cry out in dark despair. Oh, if I'd only had this matter settled last night. While the Spirit is striving. While the Father is waiting. While Christ is pleading. As we bow our heads in our hearts and pray, I wonder will high heaven hear a cry, either silently or audibly, it doesn't matter, from some heart tonight, Lord, I'm coming home. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. Will you do that? Now, now, now is God's time. Tomorrow may be too late. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the sweetness of the gospel. We have heard this passage in Luke 15 preached on for many years, but it was sweet and precious to our hearts tonight to hear of a loving God receiving a wandering sinner and welcoming the sinner home into the place of joy and gladness and peace. Thou art a loving, waiting, pleading God. We believe the Spirit of God has been striving with hearts and souls tonight. We believe that our precious souls in this audience really feel their need and want to be saved. But we fear our God it could be, they're saying not tonight. And thy word, our God, impresses our hearts tonight and stirs our souls. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. O God, may the Spirit of God draw near and go from heart to heart and seat to seat. As we've already suggested and tried, may there be no levity or lightness when this meeting closes. Decisions are going to be made for eternity. And it may be the decision that will be made tonight by some in this audience will be final, either for Christ or rejecting Christ. Oh, God forbid it that a soul should go out of this audience deeply stirred and dealt with by the Spirit of God and yet reject Christ and miss God's salvation and spend eternity in hell. Oh, Father, draw near, we pray, by the mighty power of the Spirit of God, grant that souls might be saved and receive the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and go on their way rejoicing, knowing Christ, having received Christ, having been welcomed home, and the feast will begin and never end, and heaven will their portion be, save for all eternity. We pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we're going to sing a closing hymn tonight. We would like to sing the hymn reverently, solemnly. We would like that this meeting should be dismissed reverently and solemnly. And if there are anxious souls here tonight, we would ask you to remain behind. We cannot save you. If you're not in earnest, there's no use. But if you are in dead earnest and God has awakened you to see your need and that tonight you should be saved, there are those who will deal with you, will be glad to meet with you and sit down with you and read God's word and try, by the help of God, to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, my dear friend, without Christ, boy or girl, man or woman, it may be now or never. I don't have a hymn book, but can we sing that hymn, Just As I Am, Without One Plea? Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, 226, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, 226.